Nothing to realize, no one to realize it. No realization can be seen, not even a little bit. But our words can describe so carefully the way of realization that occurs dependently. It is like seeing the moon in a dream. This way of realizing the fruition, what a wonderful miracle.
Don tamba toza tozi yo mare toza tozi yo na zungzin chagre. Ina ya thani tando tozor te malam to dab zungni thongwa de chigo. Manan malam to chunang ga dazong thongwa da.
Really, there is no such thing as there being something to realize and someone to realize it. If there were, then the true nature of reality would be duality. So there really is no one to realize anything and nothing to realize. The appearance of somebody attaining the fruition is like the appearance of someone seeing the moon in a dream. They see it, they recognize it, but it's just a mere appearance.
Then chukye pa tundang khe tsor ngomsar cheba ne khe je ne lok trupa trabe sir mikte khe lin kun lin de na yang trume ying le trupa tso jeba tundang khe tsor mda yang ngomsar cheba.
The 14th wonderful miracle is the wonderful miracle of how the explanation of genuine reality is miraculous. Since fundamentally there are no conceptual elaborations, the basic state transcends all reference points and assertions. Yet from this expanse that concepts cannot experience, conceptuality arises in great abundance. This way of explaining genuine reality, Emma, what a wonderful miracle. The true nature of reality is beyond conceptual elaboration. It can't be described, it's inexpressible. And yet from this inexpressible expanse of the basic nature of reality comes an abundance of concepts, comes all of the different philosophical tenets, explanations of the nature of reality, and yet they never leave this expanse, not even in the slightest way, and this is a wonderful miracle.
In
the Tibetan tradition, there are 100 volumes of the Kangyur, the speech of the Buddha. There are 200 or 300 volumes of the great Indian commentaries called the Tenjur. And all of these are fabrications that arise within the unfabricated expanse.
Denzin Tadur Mamzar Chevane Kunzok Denzin Kunzok Denzin Talin Denayang Denba Kakser Zumbar Kepa Tang Zumba Kakser Denbar Mekepa Denzin Tadur Dayang Mamzar Chevane.
Next comes the way that liberation from true and false is miraculous. The completely false appearances that you see transcend both true and false in reality. But to stop you from thinking that they are true, you are taught that they are false. To halt this clinging to falsity, it is not explained that they have any reality. Liberation from true and false, Emma, what a wonderful miracle.
Kunzop Janawa de Nelo Moma Dinjin Talin Debare in a Dembar Hemba Kakpa said the Zumbar Hebare Zumba Kakpa said the Dembar Mehebare.
The relative or superficial appearances that we see in terms of their actual nature transcend being either true or false. But since we take them to be real or true, then we are constantly told that they are false, that they are not real. And yet, So this reverses our clinging to them as being true, but to get us to stop clinging to them as being false, then we're not once again told that they are real. We don't come back and hear somehow that they are real. And the actual nature of reality is, when we know that, we are liberated from true and false, and this is a wonderful miracle. How is the explanation of the three kayas a wonderful miracle? Genuine reality's dharmakaya cannot be experienced by conceptual mind, but there is the way the sambhogakaya appears to the noble bodhisattvas, and to the various beings the nirmanakaya appears in a water moon style. This way of explaining the three kayas, Emma, what a wonderful miracle.
Sanje chukko tatto pa chukko re trivalin devare. Ina yan durza la sanje sambam papa na la longkor khyar chorda. Na chokben rova la trukko khyar chorde kosom ji khe chol ngomza chimbarza.
The actual genuine body of the Buddha is the Dharmakaya, the essence of Buddha mind, but this is not something that anyone could see or experience directly for themselves except for the Buddha. What the disciples do see, the noble bodhisattvas see the Sambhogakaya, and the ordinary beings, both pure and impure, see the Nirmanakaya emanation that appears in the form of a water moon.
Nanger Joksor Momsar Chevane, Malam Tavi, Dunga Nam Dojan, Rango Hippe Rang, Rangha Rang Rote, Charum Churikovan Ansurgi, Nanger Joksor Dayang Momsar Che.
The explanation of transformation that is miraculous is like this. We have so many thoughts that we are suffering, but this suffering is just like a dream. And if you can recognize these thoughts' true nature, suffering will be self-liberated as soon as it appears. The ice so easily melting into water, transformation explained like that, what a wonderful miracle. In the great vehicle of the Mahayana, there is a tradition of explaining transformation, but transformation is not real transformation. It is like ice melting into water. The way that the explanation of union is a wonderful miracle, though the wisdoms five and the kayas three are all explained individually, like a sound's impermanence and composite nature, kayas and wisdoms are really undifferentiable. This explanation of ultimate union, Emma, what a wonderful miracle. There are different explanations given for each of the five wisdoms and each of the three kayas, and yet actually in the essence of reality itself, these are inseparable, they are undifferentiable. And so the example is that of a sound's impermanence and its nature as being composite, as being caused by causes and conditions. These two can be explained separately, but in the sound itself, there's no difference between it being impermanent and being created by causes and conditions. Through great compassion, the Buddha's activity accomplishes the benefit of sentient beings, but the benefited ones really don't exist at all. Completely falsely, benefit performed is as in a dream. This explanation of Buddha activity, Emma, what a wonderful miracle.
Tene ton tambar simjin yang tambar madrum na yang ninji simje yang ma to pe sim chin ji tong se ya ya pa de ngom se chim bo
Actually, sentient beings don't exist, but out of the Buddha's compassion for sentient beings who don't realize the emptiness of beings and of other phenomena, the Buddha's enlightened activity benefits all sentient beings as enlightened activity would benefit beings in a dream. Pure and impure are just imaginary. They do not exist in the expanse of equality. Equality's expanse encompasses absolutely everything, and nothing can ever move from it at all. This explanation of equality, Emma, what a wonderful miracle. The fact that actually and genuinely the true nature of reality is equality, and yet from within this expanse of equality there can be all these different kinds of divisions and classifications of different kinds of purity and impurity is a wonderful miracle. That's the 20th miracle. Why are these all so incredibly miraculous? Genuine reality, true being, free of conceptuality, appearances transcending truth and falsity, Emma, all phenomena are wonderful miracles. This is an explanation of why, according to the Mahayana and the Vajrayana, phenomena are wonderful miracles. It is an explanation that depends upon examining what is actual genuine truth and what is only superficial truth. When you grasp all of this, you realize Mahayana's profound meaning. When you grasp all of this, you are a worthy vessel for the great secret. When you grasp all of this, you help everyone in a natural way. So may all you fortunate ones realize this meaning well. When you can understand this way that things appear and the way that things really are, then you understand, you realize the profound meaning of the Mahayana teachings. You become a worthy vessel for the teachings of the secret mantra, the Vajrayana, and you help everyone in a natural, effortless, spontaneous way. So therefore, may all you fortunate ones realize this meaning well. This way of teaching, the way of appearance and the way of reality is in harmony with the way that Milarepa explained them to be. It is in harmony with the explanation of the two truths in the Mahayana and the Vajrayana, and therefore it is incredibly miraculous. So when Rinpoche wanted to make an example for each of the 20 years he's been teaching in the West of what he's been teaching, then he made this song. So now I'll sing it. Namo Guru Hasa Vajra. Samsara and Nirvana are undifferentiable. And even though you realize this, to purify your thoughts of their attributes, you gained Buddhahood in just one life. Mighty hero Shepa Dorje, at your feet I bow with great respect. Genuine reality transcends birth and death. False appearances, birth and death are like water moons. Knowing this will make it easy to cut through clinging to birth and death as true. Such an explanation of birth and death. Emma, what a wonderful miracle. Since no actor exists, neither does activity. But in terms of appearance, they arise dependently, just like dream happiness and suffering. And in this way, good and bad deeds result in joy and pain. Such an explanation of cause, result, and karma. Emma, what a wonderful miracle. Samsara suffering has never existed. Its appearance is like agony in a dream. Of the very nature of dependent arising, you can't separate appearance from emptiness. Such an explanation of suffering. Emma, what a wonderful miracle. The human body that has faith, diligence, and prajna is so difficult to find, we're told in many ways, but it too is just a water moon, dependently arisen, this you should know, this way of thinking about something so hard to get. Emma, what a wonderful miracle. All phenomena outside and inside decay each moment, they have no power to remain. But this source of sadness, when examined closely, reveals that impermanence doesn't exist either. This way of meditating on impermanence, Emma, what a wonderful miracle. Your friends depend on your enemies, and your enemies depend on your friends. All friends and enemies exist dependently, just like the ones that you meet in dreams. This way of understanding friends and enemies, Emma, what a wonderful miracle. Without joy, pain is impossible. Without pain, joy is impossible. They are the very essence of dependent existence. They are without the slightest substance. This way of understanding joy and pain, Emma, what a wonderful miracle. When there is clean is because of unclean, and unclean itself depends on clean. They are of the nature of equality, as they are when they appear in dreams. This way of eliminating thoughts of clean and filth, Emma, what a wonderful miracle. Gain and pleasure, praise and sweet sounds, these four, they rely on their opposites for their very existence. Water moons and dreams, they have no substance. The eight worldly dharmas are such wonderful miracles. Being learned depends on being stupid, and being stupid depends on being learned. Both are just dreams and water moons. Scholar and fool not different, what a wonderful miracle. From the unborn mind beyond conceptuality, appearances self arise and by themselves are free. Just like waves dissolving into the ocean vast, the basic way of being, what a wonderful miracle. No one to progress, no path to progress upon, no progressing whatsoever going on, but the way of progressing that we see, from cause and condition arises dependently, like the moon dancing on the waves. This way of traversing the path, what a wonderful miracle. Nothing to realize, no one to realize it. No realization can be seen, not even a little bit. But our words can describe so carefully the way of realization that occurs dependently. It is like seeing the moon in a dream. This way of realizing the fruition, what a wonderful miracle. Since fundamentally there are no conceptual elaborations, the basic state transcends all reference points and assertions. Yet from this expanse that concepts cannot experience, conceptuality arises in great abundance. This way of explaining genuine reality, Emma, what a wonderful miracle. The completely false appearances that you see transcend both true and false in reality. But to stop you from thinking that they are true, you are taught that they are false. To halt this clinging to falsity, it is not explained that they have any reality. Liberation from true and false. Emma, what a wonderful miracle. Genuine realities, Dharmakaya, cannot be experienced by conceptual mind, but there is the way the Sambhogakaya appears to the noble bodhisattvas, and to the various beings the Nirmanakaya appears in a water moon style. This way of explaining the three kayas, Emma, what a wonderful miracle. We have so many thoughts that we are suffering, but this suffering is just like a dream. And if you can recognize these thoughts' true nature, suffering will be self-liberated as soon as it appears. The ice so easily melting into water, transformation explained like that, what a wonderful miracle. Though the wisdoms five and the kayas three are all explained individually, like a sound's impermanence and composite nature, kayas and wisdoms are really undifferentiable. This explanation of ultimate union, Emma, what a wonderful miracle. Through great compassion, the Buddha's activity accomplishes the benefit of sentient beings. But the benefited ones really don't exist at all. Completely falsely benefit performed is as in a dream. This explanation of Buddha activity, Emma, what a wonderful miracle. Pure and impure are just imaginary. They do not exist in the expanse of equality. Equality's expanse encompasses absolutely everything, and nothing can ever move from it at all. This explanation of equality, Emma, what a wonderful miracle. Why are these all so incredibly miraculous? Genuine reality, true being, free of conceptuality. Appearances transcending truth and falsity. Emma, all phenomena are wonderful miracles. When you grasp all of this, you realize Mahayana's profound meaning. When you grasp all of this, you are a worthy vessel for the great secret. When you grasp all of this, you help everyone in a natural way. So may all you fortunate ones realize this meaning well. So now let's sing what it means to be lucky, the excellent path laid with precious gems.
Yeah.
Emma Ho. Emma Ho.
Emma Ho.
Now you have got what's so hard to get, the precious freedoms and advantages. This one life alone means so little, so why be so obsessed with it? If to do some good for yourselves and others too, you listen to Dharma and then reflect, then you are so fortunate. This is what it means to be lucky. This life is quite impermanent. It will definitely disappear. You think everything will stay just as it is. How to come out from this confusion into the clear? Cut the root of samsara's confused appearances by meditating on the meaning of what you've heard. If you do that, you are so fortunate. This is what it means to be lucky. If you do good, you'll be happy. If you do bad, you'll suffer pain. Think well about how karma works, and you'll gain certainty that it's an unfailing law. If then you act in a rightful way, doing what you should do and giving up the rest, Then you are so fortunate. This is what it means to be lucky. The nature of samsara is the three sufferings. If you know this in your heart and it's not just something you say, and so you can liberate yourself and others from samsara's ocean, you cut off suffering right at the root. If you can do that, then you are so fortunate. This is what it means to be lucky. Meditating on impermanence cuts off attachment to this life. Thinking over and over of samsara's suffering makes you realize how worthless samsara is. This gives you the determination to strive for nirvana's liberation. If you do that, you are so fortunate. This is what it means to be lucky. Knowing samsara's cause is belief in I, you know its remedy to be selflessness. So if you apply scripture and reasoning to gain certainty that there is no self, and if you meditate on selflessness, you're so fortunate. This is what it means to be lucky. All beings have been your father and mother. Knowing this, you train your mind in love and compassion. This makes you stop worrying so much about your own comfort and happiness. When you give rise to supreme bodhicitta, this is what it means to be lucky. Everything in samsara and nirvana, without exception, is neither one nor many. So all phenomena are empty of essence. And knowing this, if you meditate on profound emptiness, then you are so fortunate. This is what it means to be lucky. Meditating on emptiness cuts the root of existence. Love and compassion free you from the extreme of peace. When you bring together wisdom and means that are stuck in neither existence nor peace's extremes, then you are so fortunate. This is what it means to be lucky. When you've made the Mahayana path your sturdy base, and you know so excellently the way the totality of appearance is an infinite expanse of purity, then the four empowerments will ripen your continuum. When you practice profound creation and completion, this is what it means to be lucky. The fruit of this creation and completion must ripen at the appropriate time. This depends on your pure vision of your Vajra brothers and sisters. It must increase. So if pure vision dawns in your mind, this is what it means to be lucky. Another reason you might be lucky, the freedoms and resources this excellent base is hard to find, and what's harder than that is using it to practice Dharma correctly. So if you are on the path of correct practice, this is what it means to be lucky. Knowing what it means to be lucky, day and night without distraction, in order to accomplish great benefit for the teachings and for all beings, may all of us practice the Dharma of the Lucky One. As before, please give rise to the precious attitude of bodhicitta as is instructed in the teachings of the Mahayana and listen.
Sanje Rani Je Don Tambalan Trubasavar Long Tambam Gombozo Drupjinzebe Chuyen Tobale Druba Nyamlila Karkeva Jinche Juni Je Chuyen Kebala Talam Yeji Jinche Tan Chuji Jinche Je Chuyen Kebane Yizuru Churpe Chunam La Totan Takwan Nambam Chunarangi Mebani
Now, from the text written by the great protector Nagarjuna, who was prophesied to be the one who would clear away all misunderstandings concerning the view, the text called the Praise of the Dharmadhatu. We've reached the verse which describes the Dharmadhatu of the mental consciousness and its object, the phenomena that it perceives, these two sources of consciousness. And the verse reads, the phenomena that appear to the mental consciousness, the primary one, are conceptualized and then superimposed. When this activity is abandoned, phenomena's lack of self-nature is known. Meditate on this
itself as the Dharmadhatu. Na te chuyen so gombara savatam. Tetar gombe chuyen Yeah.
Also, ne sabje girmaso ti malona
digido mas. Teche pamto.
The commentary by the great Pandit Shakya Chokden called Gaining Certainty About the Dharmadhatu reads, completely falsely in dependence upon the mind and the phenomena that appear to it, the mental consciousness becomes primary. One thinks that the particular phenomenon appearing to the mental consciousness is this or that, and then creates a conventional label for this phenomenon, whose existence one has superimposed onto genuine reality. However, that phenomenon does not exist as it is imagined to do so. Having used one's discriminating intelligence to completely abandon the activity of conceptualizing thoroughly false phenomena like form and so forth to be this and that, know that all phenomena such as form and so forth lack self-nature and meditate.
Drupa yeji nam hire, tela tumi ji kheba, traba yu na yang ngon se ngon hi kale kapore, mang kheba te tokje ji kheba, meng dang tong chik to dred ten zembe kheba, la tokje se gire, tokje ji kheba, mang kheba, tso kheba re, tokje ji kheba yu, gong nam hi ji yor to manang wa, dandan, Tokye yeji nam hi ji yor tu churpa teso la teni tso chu ji jen shi se gire.
Laso?
Ya.
Laso. The inner source of consciousness, that is the mental consciousness, has two aspects to it. One is a non-conceptual aspect that directly perceives outer objects. This is very difficult for us to understand, it's very subtle. The part that we're more familiar with is the conceptual part of the mental consciousness, which thinks about things and assigns them names and labels and terms and definitions. The main phenomena, or the main one out of all of the six outer sources of consciousness that appears to the mental consciousness is phenomena. It is this source of consciousness, phenomena, that mainly appears to the mental consciousness in its conceptual state.
Tene namto tazo tso mengla tu govare. Mengla tu pa, meng tazo, meng nam tonje teng do yang tapa madopare. Namto ranyi jang yang tapa madopa. Tangbo jewa meba, parda neba meba, taranga pa meba, jenga ne sum da trave chuing.
Thoughts mostly depend on names. I'm thinking of names of things, but the names do not exist inherently in the object that is being thought of. And furthermore, these thoughts themselves do not really exist. They never really happen. They never really come into being. They never really remain. They never really stop. Since the mental consciousness transcends both shape and color, then it is indescribable in terms of saying, well, it looks like this, or it has this color or that color. You can't use those type of references when talking about the mind. Furthermore, the mental consciousness cannot be said to come from anywhere, remain anywhere, or go anywhere. It is the emptiness that transcends coming and going.
Kunzop de yejinam ki de jeva ngaman in dero, den it's jeva samalan rovare hepare, inaya ne logla, hirap de jena ne logla, den in rong lendebare.
If we want to have a, if we look at the mind from a superficial perspective, then we can just say simply, well, it comes from the past life to this life and it will go to the next life. But once we examine with our intelligence, we find that in the true nature of the mind, the true nature of reality, the mind doesn't come from anywhere, stay anywhere, nor go anywhere.
King de Bandravo, Dam de Bandravo, Yunayang, the Ne, same Jung O, Jenga, Ne, Som Dan Travala, King Wantan Damba Yomare, New Mombata, Dungalang O, Mabesena, King Zid, Dam Zilang O Yomare, this and the King Wan, King Rulin de Pituing.
The mind is also the Dharma Dhatu that is free from bondage and free from liberation. It may appear sometimes that the mind is bound up or tied up by mental afflictions, mental anguish, pain, but this is not the case because the true nature of mind is never bound by anything. The true nature of mind is therefore neither ever liberated either. The fact of the matter is that these mental afflictions and other things which appear to bind us have no essence. They do not really exist. So there is nothing to bind anyone. And since there's nothing to bind anyone, there is never any freedom either, because no one was ever bound up in the first place. So the true nature of mind is therefore the Dharma Dhatu that is free of bondage and liberation.
Tena ye chenam chi am, ye chen chi am, same chen ne lok de, tomong nyen tu tardo hye na kansa ka da me pare. Tikin same chan tardo hye na zung zi nyi chit tong pare. Kolo parpat tawa, ranjo tardo hye na, ranjo tardo hye na, chik da tome rang yin len de pa, tong pa nam ka ta pare. Oma tanjur ji gong pa tardo hye na, tong pa le chang de pa. Tong mo tong len de ba, den jin len de ba, tan yi ji zhu ba tam jie len de ba re. kolo sumpa gongpa yendong tar to khe na semje ne long de sardong yer me ba yinri yer me ba ngô la trima me ba lover trime tong ba ngô lover trime tong ba re saja chenpo tar to khe na semje ne long de tene sardong yer me ya tenya nga jitaba nga de tong nga gitaba tar to khe na de tong yer me re Zogwa chenpo tato xie na semlen de per rikpa am, riktong yer me pare.
Maso.
Dixwa?
Dixwa.
Oh, hi.
We ask what is the true nature of mind from the perspective of the Shravakayana, then the true nature of mind is selflessness of the individual, that there is no I. If we look at it from the perspective of the Mahayana school of the mind only, citta matra, then the true nature of mind is empty of the duality of perceiver and perceived. From the perspective of the middle way autonomy school or svatantrika, the true nature of mind is neither one thing nor is it many things, it is emptiness like space. According to the Prasangika Madhyamika, the consequence school of the middle way, the true nature of mind cannot be described with any conceptual term. It is neither empty nor not empty. It is neither truly existent nor not truly existent. It transcends all conceptual reference points and elaborations. According to the Shentong, empty of other school, the mind's true nature is clarity and emptiness, undifferentiable. It is the expanse and awareness, undifferentiable. In its essence, there is the nothing that makes it imperfect or causes it to be stained, it is completely free of any flaw or any obscuration in its own basic nature. According to Mahamudra, the true nature of mind is clarity, emptiness, and when joined with mantra, then it is explained to be bliss, emptiness, undifferentiable. And according to the explanation of Dzogchen, the great perfection, the true nature of mind is awareness that transcends ordinary mental activity. Maso?
Tene, ta chuji chinchi te yeji namhi ji yordo jorba tsore, tele yeva mambu yonaya, do dono depa temba, depa kapsonge, nga detan de se sambata, depa. Depa nama nato trembata. Mahumbalan detan desa sambe namdo kinchaki nato zovata. Tatan detan desa samba sambatezo zo yiji nam hiji yore.
Maso. The source of consciousness that is phenomena is that which the mental consciousness perceives. We can think about this in terms of when we think about the past, when we remember things in the past, about what we did and all the appearances that appeared. That's one type of phenomena. We also can think about the future and all of the plans we have, the things we're going to do or not do. That's another type of phenomena. We can also think about the present. What am I doing now? That's the third type.
Tene deta wo du som la du som je nam to jin yang de pang mlam tang de ni se pa na ye re tene de mlam
maso
tang de ni se pa na ye re
maso
yin do ten de pang ga sa ba re Depan gata vesena madrupa.
Masa.
Chujiyin re.
Masa.
Maomba Maomba mambo samnaya, maomba tanda yo mare, maomba tanda madropa, machi pesena, machi pechuingre, maomba tamje machi pechuingre, deba tamje gas in pechuingre, tene tatarje nawate namdoka takwatso, tene tudrupje nama sanre mato, ranga ngu madropesena, tuso madropa te chuingre. Kolo parpe chukela tene mamek pe tongba ni sigre tonye ke pe kapso mamek pe tongba ni sigre
maso
chuyen to pa da jana tusom tusom nam to ka takba yen do madro pa te tene chuji yen re
maso
tusom je chuyen to go go to maso
tene depe depe chuyen gagzin be chuyen re
mem depe ngobo ga se ba re
We think about the past a lot. But the actual nature of the past is like the events of a dream when we wake up. It's gone. It's completely finished. So, if we ask, well, what is the past? The past is that which is over. And so the Dharma Dhatu of the past is the Dharma Dhatu of that which is over. We think a lot about the future, but the future doesn't exist, hasn't happened yet. And so the Dharma Dhatu of the future is the Dharma Dhatu of that which does not exist. The appearances that we see in the present are merely dependently existent appearances. They decay moment by moment. And so that is the Dharma Dhatu of the present. And so we need to know that these three times, none of them really exist. The Buddha explained that the emptiness of time is the emptiness of that which you cannot see. That's what he called it. And so there are these different Dharma Dhatus, the Dharma Dhatu of the past, present, and future. But these are only from the perspective of different subjects, different things whose nature is the Dharma Dhatu. So you can see one thing's nature is a Dharma Dhatu and distinguish it from something else's nature as being the Dharma Dhatu. But from the Dharma Dhatu's perspective itself, there exists no distinction.
Tene ta chuje chenche nam chuje yang ta pa madrup te juje tenche sope nang zang yin bise.
Given the source of consciousness that is phenomena, they do not really exist because they are dependently arisen mere appearances.
Yang ye ji jin ji dang, chu ji jin ji ni ga chu ji ma du te pen chen tu na zhe bu shi ji le ji tu bu shi.
Given these sources of consciousness that are the mind, the mental sense consciousness, the mental consciousness, and the phenomena that it perceives, neither of these really exist because they are only dependently existent.
Matu na kande zogo gogodo sena ye te chula matu chu chi chin chi ye la matu pa so so rawang ye pa ji gogodo ten rawo ye ma.
If they were to really exist, they would have to exist in a way that one could exist independently of the other, but it would be impossible for the mental consciousness to exist independently of any object to perceive, and it would be impossible for any object, any phenomenon, to exist independent of the mental consciousness perceiving it.
Then
so therefore, they don't exist.
Nabanam Hill to Nabanam Hill to Bate, 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 Nabanam
Similarly, we can think about an example to make this easier for us to understand. If we think about the example of the ear sense consciousness and the sound that it hears, that which is heard depends upon there being something to hear it to exist. And that which hears, which is the ear consciousness, depends upon there being something to hear to exist. And so these two things exist only in dependence upon each other, the ear and sound, with regard to sound being that which is heard by the ear sense consciousness, and the ear consciousness being that which hears. And similarly, mind and the phenomena that it perceives exist only in dependence upon each other. And so as the Lord of Yogis Milarepa sang in his introduction to the Song of Meaningful Connections, I have understood that all phenomena in samsara and nirvana are merely dependently arisen. There's not a single phenomenon that exists anywhere that is not dependently arisen. And so in this song of meaningful connections, or more literally, meaningful dependent arisings, then we hear Milarepa sing of meaningful, of dependent arisings first, and then of what is meaningful, or what is the essence of any dependently arisen connection. If we connect, make a connection between this and the Heart Sutra, then we would be looking at the last of the inner six sources of consciousnesses, the mind, where the Buddha says there is no mind, and the last of the six outer sources of consciousness, which is phenomena. Buddha says there are no phenomena.
Tena chuyen gomba te chenche chuni te chuyen gomna tene te de nawa dang hajang deva chenpo yer.
If we meditate in this way on the Dharma Dhatu of the 12 sources of consciousness, there will be an incredible connection between what appears to us in this life and our meditation. The reason for this is that what appears to our five sense consciousnesses are nothing other than these five objects. And what we meditate on when we are practicing this type of meditation is we're meditating on them being the Dharma Dhatu. And what appears to our mind is thoughts. And when we are practicing this meditation, what we are meditating on is the nature of thoughts being the Dharma Dhatu. So it is completely connected with what goes on in our life to practice this type of meditation.
Dor dona te de nantor de kunzobre tende nantare netor chuingre.
In short, the way that things appear to us in this life is superficial. The true nature of reality is the Dharma Dhatu. When we realize the Dharma Dhatu, we are not confused. When we don't realize the Dharma Dhatu, then the duality of a perceiver and a perceived confuses us and blocks our vision, obscures our vision of the Dharma Dhatu. Milarepa, in his song, The Eight Wonderful Forms of Happiness, sang, the meeting of appearances of the six kinds of consciousness, this is the guide that turns adverse conditions into a path. Is there anyone here who is able to keep to this path and follow it through? The one for whom desire and craving have been consumed is happy. The rope that ties perceiver and perceived when cut is emaho.
Emaho. So drug nama tung de sich the nam ki so drug tang, zugda teru reza chu drug the tung de sich the hansema ba du jig do. Painting dun a drupa in besena tung de sigre. Money tok song, tung de sigre. Jing one and drug jig, you're going to let on the matopore. Oh, tok song said the kang dong tongore. Then I get tung de.
The meeting of appearances and the six kinds of consciousness. So this describes when the appearances of outer objects meet with the consciousness. The literal word in Tibetan is to meet, like you meet somebody. It's the same exact word. And so for an object and consciousness to meet, they both have to exist simultaneously. Just like when you meet somebody, you have to see them at the same time they see you. If you get there first and they get there later after you already left, then you don't meet each other. You have to see their face. Then you can say, I met that person. And similarly, for a consciousness and its object, for there to be perception, the two have to arise at exactly the same time. One cannot exist before the other. When this happens, this is called tukje in Tibetan, and then there is later a thought about what happened. Oh, I saw this, I heard this, like that. So then what comes in is what is called liberation through mindfulness. Because by remembering that this meeting of the object with its consciousness is not truly existent, is of the nature of the Dharma Dhatu, then the thought that there was an actual experience, the conceptualizing of the experience, is self-liberated by our remembering that both are just dependently existent, therefore non-existent, therefore the Dharma Dhatu.
Lambdon Jugger.
Awesome. process goes like this. The object and its consciousness meet, and then a thought arises, and if we can see the essence of that thought, recognize the essence of that thought, the thought is self-liberated, and in this way we take any bad experience, any adverse condition to the path.
Then do you say se sar chorwa se jite kar re se na cha dang rang dur tu nur.
Maso.
Then da cha dang rang dur.
Maso. The one for whom desire and craving have been consumed is happy. The meaning of this statement is the self-liberation of aversion and attachment, or anger and passion.
Then Rabu in a Zungzin Jedeva Kadeyundo Sena Zungzin La Dembari came by Deva Yomare, Nansan Jedeva, Malam Mohibano, Malam Mohiba Kapsu Zungzin La Dendu Jedeva Yomare, Nansan Jedeva Yor.
The rope that ties perceiver and perceived when cut. This describes realizing that the connection between perceiver and perceived is a mere appearance. Just like the connection between a perceived object and a perceiving subject in a dream. Now, there really is no connection. There appears to be one, and this is just a mere appearance.
Zongzhen la den malang o xie ba yendo, zongzhen la den bari xin ben derwa xie te xie te, nang zang jen derwa xerwa te ema o.
Masa. Just like recognizing... Just like recognizing that we're dreaming, when the rope that ties perceiver and perceived is cut, when we stop taking the connection between perceiver and perceived to be real, when we stop taking duality to be real, then that is emaho. This is Milarepa's song of how the six consciousnesses and their objects are the Dharma Dhat. So Milarepa taught this in the form of a song, a Vajra song, and so now
the meeting of appearances of the six kinds of consciousness. This is the guide that turns adverse conditions into a path. Is there anyone here who is able to keep to this path and follow it through? The one for whom desire and craving have been consumed is happy. The rope that ties perceiver and perceived when cut is emaho.
Now let's recite the six verses that describe the Dharma Dhatu of the 12 sources of consciousness.
Independence upon eye and form, unstained appearances appear, since these neither arise nor cease, they are the Dharma. Consciousness experiencing smell. The tongue's nature is emptiness. The object tasted is also voidness. They are the essence of the Dharma Dhatu, not the causes of the taste sense consciousness. The pure body's essence, the characteristics of the condition that is the object touched, and that which is free of these conditions, these are called the Dharma Dhatu. The phenomena that appear to the mental consciousness, the primary one, are conceptualized and then superimposed. When this activity is abandoned, phenomena's lack of self-nature is known. Meditate on this itself as the Dharma Dhatu.
The Gombalodrop Jinze Pichuying Tapale. Then Chirang Sok Khan Gom Jang in La Kar Chewa Chin Chi Chun Ni Chi Chu Yin Dor Du De Khe Trabai.
From the text called The Praise of the Dharma Dhatu by the Protector Nagarjuna, this has been an explanation of the verses which are most relevant to meditation. The verses on the Dharma Dhatu of the 12 sources of consciousness.
Tene chuyeng ge tani te yabore, chuyeng se jade ying se de payang koyang kogondo, tene ne lok te payang koyang ge ne lok gomba la gavu yungre. Tong yi se de tong se de mei ban ra wo kogondo, cham cham che dan ra wo kogondo.
The word Dharma Dhatu, Chuying in Tibetan, is a very good word because Ying or Dhatu means expanse. So it is the expanse that is open, spacious, and relaxed. This is the true nature of reality. It's maybe a better word than emptiness because emptiness has this empty in it, which sounds like nothing, which sometimes may be confused with nihilism.
Tene charan tsu tanda tsikye taso lo lo zong yinjike la. Yang peke chute kyang yin tsu te tsikye trokmo yore mangbo yomare te lo lo zong dadang lama dunjom le shu dadang yapo jang lo lo zong na. Tene chuyen ge tsike ngomtsar jin re. Chuke ngomtsar jin.
You should memorize these verses in English
And if you are practicing, if you're studying Tibetan, then it would also be good to memorize them in Tibetan. You could learn the pronunciation from Lama Dujum Dorje. And these, it's a very good way to learn Dharma vocabulary, because the Dharma words that are used in these verses are particularly extraordinary. So aside from it being having been translated into Tibetan, it is the these are the words of Nagarjuna himself, the great protector Nagarjuna himself, so they are incredible. If you can also memorize the verses from the three confidences, the three kinds of confidence in genuine reality, these are the words, the Vajra speech of the great Siddha, perhaps the greatest Siddha in the snowy land of Tibet, Milarepa. So to learn his Dharma speech is also a great thing to do. If you're studying Tibetan, the most important thing to learn is the Dharma vocabulary. Don't worry about colloquial Tibetan. In Tibet itself, there were many, many dialects and many, many types of colloquial speech, and it's very difficult to master it. But the Dharma language was uniform throughout all of Tibet, except for some differences in pronunciation. The words are exactly the same. So if you learn the Dharma language, then you will learn the language that pervaded all of Tibet. So it would be easy to learn these verses in Tibetan, because you have the English translation, you have an authentic Tibetan in Lama Dujum Dorje to teach you how to pronounce it, and so you're very, very lucky. You're very fortunate. But you're even more lucky than that, because Lama Dujum knows English so well. If you just had a Tibetan master who didn't know the meaning of the words in English, then he could only teach you how to pronounce them, but he couldn't teach you their meaning. But that's not the case in this situation. So it's like that.
Tatar jesemji chuyeng la jeje tu. Tatar jesemji chuyeng satong ando loje loje.
In short, look nakedly at the Dharma Dhatu of the present mind and rest relaxed within the Dharma Dhatu of clarity emptiness. Now let's sing Auspiciousness that lights up the universe. If the leaders of the world whose interest was making the world a better, more peaceful, happy place to live, if they could be in harmony with the public of the world who had the same interest, then the world would blaze with the light of auspiciousness. If organizations' leaders who were focused on making the world a better and more peaceful and happier place could be in harmony with the members of those organizations who had the same aim, then again, that would cause the world to blaze with the light of auspiciousness. And so we should pray very sincerely that these things come about, and to that end, we can sing this song.
Saying is,
Namo Guru Hasa Vajra. You see that everything in samsara and nirvana is merely dependently arisen. You see the dharmata, the true being, that is the essence of all dependent arising. The power of your great insight fills the universe with auspicious light. Almighty Shepa Dorje, please rise up now from within my heart. Ground's basic nature transcends conceptuality, and like water moons, appearances arise dependently. May everyone realize that this is true, and dispel the darkness cast by doubt and wrong view, and may their realization's auspiciousness light up the whole universe. The vision of your wisdom is amazing. You see just how things are, you see everything. As parents love their children, so you love all beings. You bring us benefit and happiness. Your power makes disciples out of your enemies. May your auspiciousness light up the universe. For samsara's cause clinging to I and me, the Dharma realizing selflessness is the greatest remedy. May all beings use it to pacify their confused belief that there is an I. And by the power of this great happening, may auspiciousness light up the universe. The ways of ordinary beings you have left behind, noble ones who realize reality, the true nature of mind. May you lead all ordinary beings who have not yet entered to the path of peace, and by this may auspiciousness light up the whole universe. May the yidams who bestow the cities and the protectors who clear obstacles away eliminate all harmful conditions, everything adverse to the path, and by this may auspiciousness
light of the whole universe. May the noble path of nonviolence flourish in all the worlds thereof. When beings meet and interact, may the connections they make be filled with love. And by this may auspiciousness light up the whole universe. At the twilight of this century that has been one of such prosperity, may struggle over wealth and gain disappear and not be seen again. Free from strife and violence, may all enjoy great abundance. And by this may auspiciousness light up the whole universe. This has been a century when science has advanced incredibly. Amazing and wondrous these new machines that have brought the gods' enjoyments to human beings. May they be used with skill supreme to end violence and cause peace to reign. And by this may auspiciousness light up the whole universe. May the sciences that explore outside be joined with the inner science of the mind to excellently put an end to mistaken views and confusion. And by this may auspiciousness light up the whole universe. The source of all this auspiciousness is the true nature of mind so luminous. So may realization of mind just as it is set the universe ablaze with auspicious excellence. Through all of this auspiciousness, wherever its light may be seen, with the love and the compassion that make bodhicitta mind supreme, may this thought arise in everyone. Other beings' happiness is as important as my own, and may excellent virtue and auspiciousness always increase, never diminish.
Munjo lembo kwe ta shisho, yena chucho songe ta shisho, ta cha cheme puge ta shisho, yare kusonto ge ta shisho. Nene ne monde le.